Oh, he has me muted.
There you go.
All right, can everybody hear now? I want everybody to be in one accord. Amen. He's so faithful. He's faithful when I'm not faithful. Amen. He's available when I'm not available. I've listened to a little preaching this morning. And that's, by the way, that's one of my favorite songs. I knew when that song come on, when they begin to sing it, that's God's anointing over a service. Amen. That's what pastors look for. That's what preachers look for. Amen. Just a word of God through a song. That ties right into the sermon. They don't know what I was going to preach on. I didn't know what they was going to sing on this morning. Amen. But we're singing and preaching on the goodness of God. Amen. That's why we're here today, because he is so good to us. I want to turn your attention this morning to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 15. We're going to do a little bit of reading this morning. We're going to do a little bit of studying this morning, and we're going to point some things out this morning about life. Amen? And I'll ask you, if you're able, to stand to your feet to the reverence of God's holy word this morning. Exodus chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 1, and then we're going to do a little bit more reading. We're going to do a little bit more studying on that this morning. The Lord has pointed some things out to me that, amen, that I know he wants me to share with y'all this morning. If you have your place, say amen. If you don't, say hold on. We're going to go together in one accord. And the Bible says in Exodus 15, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea." Let us look now at verse 20 through 27. "And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after with her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, because they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do thy which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And in verse 27, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this bit of scripture that you've laid upon my heart. Now, Father, I ask that you would take this and these notes and the study time that you gave me, Father. I would ask that you would take it and make it your own this morning, Father. I would pray that you would just speak through me as a vessel, Lord, that you would use me. But most of all, Father, you would empty me out this morning, Lord. That way it wouldn't be about me, but it would be about you this morning, Father, and what you've done in our life. Lord, you've been so faithful to us, Lord. You've been so good to us. And Father, we just meet here for one reason this morning, that is to praise and worship you and to thank you for what you've done for us. And we ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take you back through those bit of verses that we read this morning. And I want to get everybody on the same page. That way we can go together. And it's good to see a lot of folks in here I haven't seen in a while this morning. See, God is just so good to us. Amen. He puts us in places that we never thought we'd be. Amen. That because we go underneath his divine will. If it would have been my decision, I really don't think I'd be preaching today. But I listened to the calling that God had upon my life. Amen. He does things. See, he don't call the qualified. He qualifies to call. Amen. God don't look for abilities. He looks for availability in us. That's what he looks for. And if we just make ourselves available, amen, he's going to use us if we're not careful. He will use us to the extent of us, amen, because where we stop, that's where he starts. And we have to realize that in our lives. Amen. God uses music. We opened up in chapter 15 and verse 1. We've seen Moses. That's the song of Moses, chapter 15. And as they begin to sing and praise and honor the Lord for what he done, he just delivered them from Pharaoh's hand, the hand of bondage from the Egyptians. He had just taken them and they crossed over the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, the Bible says. The Lord parted the waters and Moses and the children of Israel crossed over upon dry ground. Amen. That's something to sing about. That is really something to sing about. The first thing that they done was sing. I want us to realize something that happened here. What was the first thing we done this morning? We sang. Amen. And the last song we sang was about how he is so good to us. Amen. If I wouldn't know any better, I would think that's what they were singing about right there, about the goodness of God, about his provisions, his providing hand. Amen. We're going to break the chapter down, and in verse 20 through 21, the Bible says that Miriam took it upon herself. Moses had done led a few songs. They began to sing, and then when that was over with, Miriam picked it back up, and all other women, they grabbed timbrels in hand, and you know what she said? Let's go a little bit further with this. Amen. I don't think we have touched a scope on what God has done for us. I'm just saying this, amen. The Bible does not say this, but I believe that Miriam said that. Y'all, we just ain't done enough. I'm going to get country with y'all. I believe that's what she was saying. I just don't think we done enough yet. Let's do a little bit more. Let's just do a little bit more. When was the last time we showed up at worship with that attitude, amen? If we could just do a little bit more. If we could just do a little bit more, amen. God is so good. He has guided y'all's group all the way to Glorietta and back, and it was hot over there. All the way over there and all the way back, God is good. He's enabled Brother Kevin to have a little time off this weekend, amen. God is good. He provides for us even in the little ways that we overlook. And in verse 22 through 27, as we look at this, the children of Israel journeyed out of Egypt. And it's a type of world, amen, bondaged. But if you notice, when they was released from bondage, they crossed over and they began to have one problem after another, amen. Does that not sound like your life today? It sounds like mine, amen. Just because I was released from bondage, amen, just because I'm a child of the King does not mean that I will not have these troubles day to day, amen. We will have these troubles. We will have battles. We will have strife. There will be disappointment. Amen. But he is so good to me. Amen. The grace of God enabled them to walk into a wicked world. That's what the grace of God does for each and every one of us this morning. It enables us to walk through. Amen. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Walk through. We have to remember. Amen. We're not taking residence up here. Amen. This is not our home. We have another place. Though we walk through, folks, I want to remind y'all this morning, we just visiting here. We just passing through. We're going somewhere else this morning. But what I want to focus on this morning is four times in chapter 15, waters was mentioned in this chapter. And as I sat down, began to study, the Lord began to lay things upon my heart about this water. And this water actually was describing my life as I sat back and began today. I'm preaching this to myself this morning, amen. And if it hits any of y'all, amen, blame it on the Lord. I want y'all to know the truth this morning. There are times in our journey when we get into deep water. Over our head. Just as their back was against the Red Sea, they didn't know what else to do. They called upon a mighty God. Have you been there lately? Where you faced the deep waters? Can't cross it alone? Get to a place you don't know what you're going to do, amen? And we're depending on a holy God, a miracle-working God, amen? Jehovah Jireh, the provider, the healer, we're depending on him to come in and do the things that we can. Have you been there lately? the big waters. Sometimes in our journey, we're going to get to a place where there's no water. Barren. Even in our Christian walk, we're going to get to a place in our walk where our walk seems like it's become barren. Amen. Have you ever been so close to God that you thought you could never be separated from Him, and the very next day you feel like you're so far away you begin to doubt your salvation sometimes and wondering what's going on? But that's just the devil working overtime. I want to tell y'all this morning, amen. The Bible says that no man can pluck them from my hand. Sometimes in our journey, we get to the waters and the waters are bitter. Amen. Sometimes the water's just too deep. It's just too much to bear. Amen. Have you been there in your life? Sometimes you get there and there's no water and the water's barren. Sometimes we get there and the water is bitter. Amen. There's plenty of it around. We can see it, but we can't do nothing with it. It's bitter. Sound like your life. Finally, Lord, I've got what you promised me and I can't do nothing with it. Amen. Have you been there? When we get there, we just can't seem to do nothing with it. But thank God when we get on to verse 27, you know, that's shouting time. And if we can't shout, I'll get Miriam's group to shout and sing a little bit for us this morning. We get to a place where bitter is made better. Amen. Where everything that hinders us becomes a victory in our life. Amen. Where there is abundant provision in our life. Amen. That's the place we ought to be looking for this morning. Looking for that city, amen. It's not made with the hands of man. I want to preach you a sermon this morning, and it's titled, and it's simple, The Waters of Life. Those four topics I just described, amen, we're going to face those in our everyday walk. We're going to face these battles. We're going to face these struggles. We're going to face these situations in our life. It's going to come a time, amen, when the world is going to have us beat down. It's going to come a time when we feel like our back's up against the Red Sea and there's no way out, amen. There's only a way through. And I'll invite you this morning just to open up your heart and let the Word of God minister to you this morning. I want to start off this morning in verse 1 through 19. We're going to talk about the big waters. Have you ever been to a place in your life where you faced the big waters of life? Big waters mean big decisions, correct? Big waters means big troubles, correct? Big problems. What does big problems need? Big solutions, amen. So glad that I serve a God. He's bigger than any problem that I have. Amen. My problems are small to Him. Big impossibilities. Have we been there lately? Where it's had things in our life, whether if it was relationship problems, financial problems, problems on a job, problems in the family. I'm just going to preach the truth a little while this morning. These are the big waters. These are things that will face us. Amen. Big impossibilities. Things will never work out for me. I just can't see it happening. Amen. I'm backed up against the sea. I need an impossible God to come through and make a way. Amen. But I'm here to tell you He will. And He can and He is able. As I read and study that, I believe I know why that Moses and the children of Israel were singing and praising, because they just seen an impossibility happen before their eyes. Amen. How many of us in here this morning have stared an impossibility in the face? Amen. And a mighty miracle working hand of God come through and made a way for us. Amen. The water's never too deep. It's never too wide. Amen. For a miracle working God. I'm here to encourage you this morning with that. Theologians claim that the place at the Red Sea where the Israelites crossed over was probably, they said, they spent years and years conquering up this. It probably was from 6 to 12 inches deep, is what they claim. I'm not here to discredit the theologians this morning. I'm here to give the credit to God. Amen. Well, folks, if it was 6 to 12 inches deep, like they claim it was. I know what the singing and the praising was about. The Bible says that he drowned Pharaoh and all of his army, including the horses, in 12 inches of water. That's something to shout and to praise about. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it was the Red Sea. It was deep. And it was wide. Amen. And they was facing an impossible situation in their life. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God cannot do the impossible in your life until you're placed in an impossible situation this morning. Amen. Some of us in here this morning may be facing that Red Sea. Our back may be up against it. We may be looking at it. We may be staring at it. Amen. But I'm here to tell you it's fixing to be shouting time. It's fixing to be singing time because he wants to do something in our lives. Amen. No way around it. I faced problems in my life where there was no way around it. It was too deep. The problems got too deep. Too cold. Amen. Sometimes we get cold within ourselves. Amen. Coldness brings bitterness. No way around it. Too far to swim it. I've had one choice, amen, just as God enabled us, amen. We just got to go through it, amen. I'm here to tell you, if God leads you to it, he will lead you through it, amen. He will never take you somewhere where you will fail. It's only when I fall short, amen, that these things come to mind. Have you ever been to the big waters? Just as the children of Israel was, they begin to complain and murmur against Moses. And they said, why have you taken us out of Egypt? Because there was not enough graves in there for us to be buried. But you've taken us out in this wilderness. You've led us around. There is no water. We have nothing to eat. Now we're up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's closing in with all of his army. You know what that was, folk? That is a this is not going to end well moment. Have you ever had one of those in your life where you just sit back and begin to look how everything was piling up against you, and there was nothing you could do but maybe sit at the table or go find your prayer closet and get down, put both hands upon your head and your knees upon your elbows and just begin to pray and say, Lord, this ain't going to end well unless you intervene. This was one of those times right there. Their back was against the wall between Pharaoh and a wet place, amen. We've all been between a rock and a hard place. This ain't going to end well moment. We have those in life. Amen. We're going to face those moments in life. But I'm here to tell you, they needed the same thing that we need today. The Israelites, Moses, Miriam, Aaron, the whole bunch, her, he was even there. They all needed the same thing, and it's the same thing we need today. It wasn't a stunt. It wasn't the ability to bargain with Pharaoh. If you just let us go one more time, we promise you this. It wasn't none of that. It was a miracle from a miracle-working God. Amen. That's the same things we still need today in our life. As we sit back and the world just shakes his head, amen, that's when we need to get on our knees, begin to thank God for what he has done for us. The Bible says it was in the waters parted. But I want y'all to pay attention to something. I've preached upon the waters parting for years, but it never caught my attention until the Lord laid this on my heart and I began to study for this sermon. The Bible says that the waters parted and they crossed over on dry ground. God won't deliver you from something for you to wallow in the mud with it. Amen. Crossed over on dry ground, but what really got my attention, what really caught my attention was something that I never thought about, amen. That's where true faith starts. When the waters begin to part, you believe everybody was standing around looking in amazement, and the kids, I ain't going in there. I'm not walking in there. Somebody had to step out, amen, just as Peter did out of the boat. Somebody had to step out in faith and start that walk, amen. I don't know if it was the command of Moses saying, y'all better get on the cross, there's a lot of y'all. Somebody had to step out on faith and start that walk. I'm here to encourage you this morning, church. when God begins to part our troubles of impossibilities, amen, you know what our problem is today? I'm going to tell you, we don't want to walk. We don't want to take action and start moving on it, amen? I'm here to tell you, it's His job to part the waters. You know what my job is? To keep walking. Just keep walking. When the impossibilities come into our lives, amen, when we look around and think there's no way out, I don't know what to do, I'm at the end of my rope, and He begins to part our problems with His solutions, amen, church, keep walking. Just keep walking. When health gets us down, amen, and the healing hand from God touches us, you know what our job is to do? Just keep walking. Just keep walking and testify. Tell somebody what the mighty hand of God has done for us. Folks, that's the easiest thing that we have to do is just to keep walking in times like this. Amen. This COVID has come along. Amen. And it looks like they're trying to stir the pot up and get it back going again. It's got our economy down. Businesses feel it. Amen. You think it's affected the church? Where folks feel more comfortable still sitting at home and would rather listen to a sermon on a podcast than to come assemble themselves with the church, amen? What does the Bible say? Do not forsake the assembling of yourself as others. Just some more big water we got to cross. It's just some more big waters. Pastors feel it. As they look out and see empty seats. It's just more big water, amen? But I'm here to encourage you today, church, we just got to keep walking. He's going to part those waters for us. He's just called us to keep walking. Our job is just, it's simple. Keep walking. I've got the easiest job of them all, amen? The Holy Spirit's job is to convict. God's job is to save. Amen. You know what mine is? Just to love. That's the simplest thing. Just love them. That's what He's called me to do. Just love them. No matter what they've done, just love them. Just lead them. Amen. Just be a shepherd through the impossible times where the waters are parting. He's told me, you keep walking, your family will follow you. Through the impossible times, you keep walking, the church will follow you. Amen. That's what He's called us to do, is to be a leader. In a much needed time, big waters often produce big miracles in our life. Amen. Folks, we just need to keep on walking. We'll go back on to verse 22, and Moses brought the Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water, the Bible says. They just left an impossible moment. They was thirsty. They just walked through water they couldn't drink, amen. Got to look at everything on the side as they crossed through, and they walked out. They was on a journey. They looked and they searched and they looked and they searched, and the Bible says, and they found no water there. Did the Bible say that there was no water there, or that they found no water there? See, if we'll read and study and slow down, amen, we'll see a lot of things. Have you ever been there in your life where you just got to a barren place, even in worship, where it was dry? Felt like it was a drought. Felt like the Lord wasn't speaking to you. I'm talking about barren, producing nothing. Amen? There's going to be times in our life when we're going to walk through those barren straits. Amen? Where it just feels like things is not going our way. But I'm here to tell you, barren times in our life produces something called maturity. Amen? All of us could probably use a little bit more of maturing from time to time. Because when you plant the seed, amen, it's not only the ground, the soil, the temperature, and everything else, but it's the seed, amen? The seed has got to be ready. The seed has got to be matured, amen? That's Pastor Kevin's job, amen, to be sure those seeds are getting everything that they need to be matured. The Bible didn't say there was no water there. It says they went 3 days into the wilderness of Shur and found no water. I sat back, I kind of laughed as I wrote some of these notes down. Because my wife, sometimes she thinks something wrong with me. I'll be in the office and I'll start laughing. She opened the door. You okay in there? I said, no, I'm crazy. And she said, I already knew that. But I believe that's probably why they call that place Shur. Because somebody's wife probably said, you sure there's no water here? Are you sure there's no water here? There was no water to be found. Y'all remember the wells and the fountain of Hagar, the Bible says? It was actually a fountain. Not just a well, a fountain. A well just contains the water. Amen? A fountain is overflowing, the Bible says. Overflowing. So it was water there. They just couldn't find it. Sometimes in our impossibilities, amen, in our struggles, we're going to walk, we're going to search, and we're just not going to be able to find it. Amen. That's when we need to hit our knees and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. You have sent me, Lord, and I still can't find it. I've went through the impossibles, but Lord, now I'm at a barren time in my life, Lord, and I just can't find it. And I know it's there. I know it's there, Lord, but I can't find it. Have you been there? These are the waters of life. We've been through barren times in our lives. Amen. Well, we knew it was there. Maybe we could see it, but we just couldn't put our hands on it. Just some barren times in our life. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes the most painful times of our life is when the maturing begins. But I'm here to tell you, even in the most painful times of your life, we still need to sing and praise. It's hard to sing and praise when you're in pain, amen? But he's been so, so good to us, amen? All my life, he has been faithful. All of it. All my life, he has been faithful to me. Amen. He's just so good. Job chapter 23, 8 through 10. You don't have to go there, but you can write it down. We all know Job's situation. And the book of Job explains one thing to me. Why do bad things happen to good people? He was in an impossible situation. He was in a barren time. He was there. But through all this, Job did not forsake God or curse him. Even though his wife kind of encouraged it one time and said, if you'll surely just curse God, you'll surely die. And he said, you speak like a foolish woman. But on through that, through all the so-called comforting of his friends, through the impossible times, Job said, I looked to the left and he was not there. I looked to the right. I looked behind me. I looked in front of me and he could not be found. But he said, I know this, through all these things, as though after I am tried by him, I will be refined as gold. Amen. He said, something good is going to come out of this. Amen. I'm here to tell you, through your barren times, through the impossible times, something good is going to come out of this. Amen. The Word of God is just so good to us. It just speaks so many things to us if we would just slow down, study it. And listen to it. Amen. The waters of life. These are just things that we're going to face. Amen. These are just things that we are facing today. These are things that are out there and we're going to go through them. Amen. I'm just trying to prepare us for those days. Amen. Verse 23. Oh, you done lost me. You ever been there? Things begin to get bitter. We've been through a place where it was too much. I've been there in my life where it was just too much for me to handle. The impossible times. And then we leave that and we go into a time where it's promised it's there and we get there and we can't find it. From too much to none. Does that sound familiar? From too much to none to now we get to a place where the waters are bitter. It's there, we can see it, but we can't do nothing with it. Amen. Have you ever been there? where it seems like the provisions is finally there for us and we just can't do nothing with them. Man, I've been there. I spent a lot of time there, it seemed like, in my life. From too much to none, but to some, and it's not good. That sounds like my story, amen? That's when the murmuring began, the Bible says. The children of Israel went to Moses, they began to complain. First you take us to the water and we can't cross it, and then we almost all lost our lives. Then finally the waters parted and we walked on through. We didn't even get no mud on us. They just complaining. Amen. Then you take us to a place where you promised us the water would be there. We get there and we can't find it. And we look 3 days. And we couldn't find it. Now finally we find some water and it's so bitter we can't do nothing with it. It's here, but we can't do nothing with it. Have you ever been there in your life where you can look at it and you just can't do nothing with it? Amen. You know why? You haven't went through that season of maturity yet. Amen. The maturity has not caught up with you yet. The murmuring began. It was not Moses' appreciation day. He was the least likely to succeed. In group, amen. What a leader. We following this guy. I'm just preaching the truth to y'all this morning, church. I can't believe I'm following him. First, he almost led us to our death, and then we've wandered around like some bunch of chickens with our heads cut off. Now we got all this water and can't do nothing with it. Where he brings us is bad, and we can't do nothing. This murmuring. The murmuring began, and the Bible says instead of Moses retaliating against him, what does the Bible say he done? And Moses turned to the Lord. Moses turned to the Lord. Amen. I'm here to tell y'all, church, if we spend as much time through our impossible situations, through our barren times, if we spend as much time going straight to the Lord instead of to the man of God, amen, putting less burdens on Brother Kevin's back, amen, and going straight to the provider, amen, with it. I'm not saying we don't have to include him, but I'm just saying there is a source. When that veil in the temple was ripped, amen, there is a way we can go straight to our provider, amen, in impossible times, when the times are barren, and when the world gets bitter around you, there is a place that we can go to. We can go straight to him, amen. Isn't it great that I can go straight to that source? Yes, it is. What a leader. He went straight to the Lord. You see, there's times in our lives where things make us bitter. And we don't understand why things happen, and it makes us bitter. But I'm here to tell you, amen, I serve a Lord that he can make bitter better. Amen. The Bible says that when Moses turned to the Lord, he was seeking instructions of what he needed to do, and the Lord pointed out to him a tree, and when he cast that tree into the water, the Bible says that the waters were made sweet. That's an example of my life, amen. I don't believe there was nobody in this church probably as bitter as me. And the Lord put something in me and made me sweet, amen. Or maybe not sweet, but he took the bitter away. Took the bitter away. As I looked and studied that, folks, it wasn't the water that was bitter. It's what was in the water made it bitter. And it was what got put in the water made it sweet. I'm here to encourage you this morning. Maybe you need to apply something in your life today if you're bitter. Amen. You see, man's answer was the cross. Another tree. Amen. The once and for all tree. If that tree is placed in your life, it'll make bitter sweet. Amen. Man's answer was the cross. Amen. God's answer was the blood. Amen. If you have that blood placed upon your life, amen, it will make bitter sweet. I remember a time in my life when things was bitter. Surrounded by the big waters, surrounded by the troubles, surrounded by the barren places, where it just seemed like nothing was working. Amen. Then I took a trip to Calvary. That same tree, amen, that makes bitter better. And it made me a whole new person, amen. I'm here to tell y'all this morning, life is not fair. Jesus is fair. But oh, look what happens when we get to verse 27. We spend a lot of times in this life in impossible situations. We spend a lot of times in this life in barren situations where we just can't find what's out there that's promised to us. We find a lot of times in our life where we get there and things are just bitter. It's there, but we can't do nothing with it. Amen. I'm here to tell you, when you can't do nothing with it, I know somebody who can do something with it. Amen. And we need to bring it to Him. But look, when we get to verse 27, there's bitter waters. But what happens when we get? There's blessed waters awaiting for us in our lives, in our journeys, in our struggles, in our trials. And they came to Eliam, where there was 12 wells of water, the significance of these numbers, and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. Oh, when we get to the blessed place in our life, where the provisions of God is waiting there for us. Why 12 wells? 12 tribes. Amen? Why was there 70 palm trees? The 70 elders. It was 70. 70 elders of the tribe of Israel. Folks, I'm here to tell you what that illustrates to us is this, that my God is telling us this morning, I don't care how bad it gets, what kind of drought you're walking in, how bitter you get, I have something for everybody is what that verse told me right there. I have something for everybody. I have comfort. I have rest. I have security. I have all the provisions that you need. And that's what he's saying right there. Amen. I'm so glad that I serve a God that knows what I need. Amen. And he knows how to get it to me. Just is what he was saying right here. There is a place. Amen. And he says there is a place that I prepared for you. Aren't you so glad this morning that he's been so good to us today? Through the journeys of our life, he's enabled us to walk through these trial times, through the trying times, through the trials, through the negativeness. Amen. Days of man are few, but full of troubles, the Bible says. I think we're seeing that today. I'm here to encourage you this morning, church. What I need may not be what you need, but I serve a God that knows what we need. Amen. We don't have to be a preacher, Sunday school teacher, deacon. You don't have to mow the grass. You don't have to mop the floors. Amen. We just have to be available. God has a blessing for each and every one of us. I'm not sure what waters we're going through this morning. Maybe the big water. Well, it's only going to take a miracle to get me through this one. Amen. Some of us may be there this morning where it's going to take a miracle to get us out. Maybe the barren waters where we just, at a point in our life, we're getting a little maturing. Amen. Where we can handle these things that he's promised us. Maybe it's the bitter waters in our life. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're facing the bitter waters in your life, there's one place you need to go, and that's a trip back to Calvary. Amen. Well, that cross can remove bitter and make you better. Maybe we're in a point this morning where we're at the blessing waters. Amen. That's the place I'd like to say I'm at. Amen. We're receiving his blessings where he has what you need and his desire is to get it to you. Amen. Maybe we just need to be like, oh, Hagar, we need to take a trip to that fountain. Amen. Because there is a fountain flowing. Amen. With blood flows from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. lose all their guilty stains. Amen. Better is gone, folks. Better awaits. We encourage you throughout this week. Look back at some of these trials that we face. Just through some of the waters of life. I'm sure if I give you a paper and a pen, you could go home. You could write down 7 or 8 different things you could bring back to Brother Kevin. Or even call me and tell me about them. These are the waters that I'm going through, preacher. Folks, these waters are real. And we're going to face them. Amen. But thank the good Lord, we have something to look forward to in verse 27. He knows what we need. And His desire is to get it to us. We're going to have a time of invitation. I'll ask everyone to stand. And I'd like to pray for us real quick. Father, we thank You again for You being the God of impossibilities, Lord. Father, for the things that we face and, Lord, the struggles and the things that this old world throws us, Father, Lord. Without You, Lord, I don't know where we would be. I don't know how folks do it today, Father. But I ask You this morning, Lord, that You could just send each and every one of us today. Lord, what we ask for is for You to use us, Lord, as Your vessels. Lord, as we fight these trying times, Lord, and Father, we just want to go out and be something positive in a negative world. Lord, I ask You to be with each and every one here this morning. Father, thank You for them coming out and being attentive to Your word. But Lord, what I ask is for these words to find fertile ground in all of our lives, Father. Send us out better than we came in. Father, use us, direct us, and Lord, in doing so, this will be the blessings that we ask for. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen.